Dudes and Fives podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Dudes and Fives podcast. Dudes and Fives.
Tights and Fights, wrestling show, sharing all the things you need to know. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. My name is Alexander Hamilton. I am Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things I haven't done, Lublin. And I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation. We are outgunned, outmanned. Outnumbered and outdanned, Danielle Radford.
Hello, thank you very much. That was very thorough. Oh.
And to the union, to the union, to the Kelkvolution, Lindsay Kelk.
It's the best song. Hi. Best song. Hi, everyone. This is now a Hamilton podcast. We're just going to have a redo of Hal's last podcast about Hamilton.
We keep threatening to do a musical podcast one day, so sorry, y'all.
Listen. I thought about part of Hamilton today. I started crying. It's fine. We've been in lockdown for 12 years. It's another mailbag episode, folks. Our first one in quite some time. In fact, so much time that I thought this was the first one.
Thank you
to everyone who used Ask TNF across all social media platforms to ask us questions. We'll be doing this again in the near future. So listen, if you didn't hear your question asked here, if you come up with a question based on what you hear, you're going to have your opportunity to have that question answered, but hold on to it. Write it down in the little pad you keep by your bed, just like Paul McCartney did when he wrote Yesterday. The next solicitation is coming. Just keep your eyes peeled on those
solicitations. Solicitation's illegal, how? That's for the money plane and the money plane only.
Only, look, we're going to be doing it at 30,000 feet, totally legal, no law in the sky.
No law in the sky.
Let's kick things off. Punk Rock and Soda on Twitter asked, which wrestler's overall aesthetic do you guys vibe with the most? I love everything about the Candice LeRae Poison Pixie packaging, colors, theme, etc. But I also love Joey Janela and Sunny Kiss's 80s vaporwave vibes. Love the show and hope everyone is staying safe and healthy.
Ooh.
You can go all time here.
No, I'm going all time. I'm going Bull Nakana.
Okay.
Looks cool, face paint cool, whole vibe cool.
It's so hard though, because everyone of all of the people, I mean, my heart says Bret Hart, obviously, because that was my first love, and the music is still great, and I enjoy wearing pink and black, and my hair kind of looks like that now. We're in like week 11 million. But if I was gonna go contemporary, you know, right now, I would say Io Shirai, and I've been thinking about Io Shirai a lot lately, like more than a normal amount. Ooh. In general, but I like, I was thinking about this question and I'm like, I love everything about Io Shirai's music, her aesthetic, her delivery, her promos right now are amazing, her work in the ring complements it all perfectly, and I just think she's so fresh and fun and fucked up and dark and brilliant and can be all things to all men. She can do whatever is required of the situation, and I love that. So definitely Io would be in my top charts at the moment.
If we're going contemporary, then it's got to be, I mean, not quite, but it's got to be Kairi Sane's pirate wench.
She's a pirate princess.
Yeah, yeah. Pirate princess is, that's pretty dope. She had a little wheel, Hal.
She had the belt in a treasure chest.
Yeah, I was there.
It was pretty dope.
I like it too. I'm trying to think of somebody who, that my immediate thought, I love the presentation of MJF. I couldn't tell you what his music is. But I love his presentation out of, like, inside of the ring could be anybody. He's just a dude in trunks. But the suit, he's got a signature look that you know is undeniably him. I like that a lot. I also like the light up jacket Jericho.
Yeah.
And I didn't at first. In my mind here, I was like, oh, I like suit and tie Jericho. Just because it was such a huge departure and it brought me in and I'm like, oh, I'm way into this.
Yeah. But light up jacket Jericho was like, it was a full expression of a Jericho. It was like an ice skating move where it was the full expression of the move. It was very beautiful.
Well, and I really liked, you know, when Prince Devitt was rocking his light up jacket as well. That was some good work.
I just enjoy the general aesthetic of Prince Devitt all of the time. So, I mean, I didn't want to pick it for being too obvious, but I like Finn's aesthetic and the aesthetic of his penis. So, you know, it's part of it.
We got through 5 minutes. I'm so proud of us.
Right, wow.
Straight to the dick.
Look,
the question was asked and the question was answered. I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah. I also loved, I love original Kurt Angle singlet.
Yeah.
There's something like perfect to the character. Really enjoyed it. Like, just, it made sense and worked really, really well and was simple. I guess I like simpler things.
Mm-hmm.
I like people in suits dressed up nicely. I like your Sunday best, everybody. Bring your Sunday best to the ring, please. Adrian Salazar asks, realistically, what do you think happens in the WWE after Vince dies? Do you think he will actually ever officially retire? No, I don't think so. I think if he were to go in the ring in the middle of a segment and it got huge ratings, that it would be a tragedy and very difficult for the family. But for the most important thing to him, it would seem, is the business.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he loves his family very much, but that has been his life's work. So if he gave his life in service to that work, that seems like he would be, like, that would be a good end.
I mean, if he traumatized an entire generation of children watching at home, he would be delighted. Well,
he would be
a new generation of children. He had Katie Vick, Owen Hart. Like, he's been traumatizing generations of children for years and years. It's, even a snake biting Randy Savage, for goodness sakes.
I did enjoy that Adrian that put realistically in this question. Realistically, you guys, come on. Because, I realistically don't think he will ever retire. I think if he retired, he would have to have some sort of debilitating illness.
Yeah, it's literally got to be that he's just like, too sick to do it. He's never going to give up.
I just don't see how he will ever walk away, because he could have walked away to do XFL, and even though he kind of said he did, he didn't. He didn't.
He definitely didn't. Nope.
He definitely didn't.
Because, like, the instant that ratings, like, were not perfect, he was like, Daddy's home.
Yeah, and he was telling Porky Pies about where the money came from anyway. So it's like, he's never going to let it go. He's never going to walk away. I imagine, same as Hal, I feel like if he went to his doctor and his doctor was like, I have terrible news, we have 12 hours to live, it would be like, get me on TV. Get
new
me
show,
the writer's room.
Yes.
Yeah, he's like, where is the live show tonight? Can we get a crew there? Like, Buffalo? Let's get me up to Buffalo.
You guys,
like,
how do you guys think he would kill himself off? Would he do another exploding limo, or would he do
something? He would do another exploding limo. Yeah.
Yeah, because then you've closed the loop on the exploding limo, which is nice.
He would get in the limo, Austin would fill it with cement, and then it would explode.
Ooh, yeah.
I do worry that he'd do some sort of terrifying suicide pact and, like, take Linda out too, though, and be like, the whole family's coming in the limo. Like, Paul, get in the car. And Paul's like, I'm not getting in the car, Vince. He's like, get in the car. He's like, I'm not getting in the car. And then the limo explodes, and then we've got the new storyline.
Actually, I don't think it would be the family. He would want them to stay there. It would be like the most popular wrestlers.
Or the least popular wrestlers. Who's got themselves over against his wishes.
There we go. That's what it would be. And
I want to take a drive with you guys. Like, I'd love to have a chat with you.
Yeah. Like a pharaoh's tomb, where he just, like, throws a bunch of stuff in there. Like, you can't have my toys. My toys are only for me.
I'd like a cow, some scarab beetles, and Zack Ryder. Like, get in this car. Get in this car. Bring your YouTube championship with you, motherfucker.
Like, this is like a twisted version of, like, of the church at the end of Lost or something, where they just, like, we're going together, guys. Like, it's time for us to go into the lighthouse.
Come on in. I don't care where you were up until now.
Realistically, though, I think the kids take over. I think that they're already sort of positioned. Stephanie's certainly positioned that way. I think Paul is positioned that way. In terms of their corporate team, they've got a whole...
Yes.
Like, this is a large... Yes, he is the big decision maker, but also that is a huge company with an entire executive board and executive staff.
Yep.
Some of whom are not McMahon, some of whom are hired people. And I think the apparatus is kind of too big. It's not like they would stop. And and how the quality would be and how it would turn out is... Your guess is as good as mine, but I don't think it stops. There's too much money out there to be made. We don't know what things are going to be like as we try to move forward in this new world where our country slowly tries to destroy itself through virus.
Slowly, lol. Yeah, I think people are really keen to say, like, oh, it will be so much better after Vince is gone. And the truth is, we just don't know, because
we don't know.
Stephanie and Triple H have been such a big part of the company structure for so long. I think it's an easy get out for a lot of people to just blame Vince. And realistically, we don't know. We don't know. You know, it's going to be a very interesting time in wrestling in general when it happens, because it will be such a seismic shift. But
yeah,
wait and see.
Also, just to talk about his professional legacy for a second, while there are a ton of black marks on it, to paint him as somebody who is... I feel like when we talk about how bad some of his decisions are, that it does gloss over the amount of things he's gotten right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
it's
there
true.
Are a
I mean,
lot of them.
Everyone gets something. But yeah, he obviously... like, he didn't
something
get to where he was
missing.
By only doing... terrible things and ruining your faves, and it's just that he has also done that a lot too, you know. It's I was thinking
yes,
about this the other
absolutely.
day. I was thinking about how much I love Cesaro and why I think Cesaro is the greatest human possibly alive. Like, he might be, I don't know all of the humans, but he's up there.
He's pretty good.
Sure.
And I just, it made me so sad. I'm like, oh, it sucks that he's never gonna get his chance at being like a real heavyweight champion. Like, he's nearly 40. Vince doesn't like him, we know this, or not like him enough to put him in that position where he's genuinely ever going to give him a real run at anything meaningful. And I was like, oh, that's so sad. But then I had to remind myself, I'm like, you know what, like, the fantasy run of Cesaro being the greatest wrestler of all time only exists in my mind. Like, we don't know. We genuinely don't know. And that's not saying that it's right not to have given him that chance for the reasons that were stated, which is just that he just doesn't connect, which just means he doesn't connect with Vince.
It means he has an accent.
Yeah, and that's not fair. But also, like, we just don't know. And it's very easy to speculate against, because there are far more people that never make it than the people that do make it
into that
top spot. So it's very easy to fantasize about what could have been. But the truth is, we just don't know. Like, maybe he would have got that top spot and it wouldn't have worked. We don't know. I think it would, because he's the greatest. But that's just me.
He is the greatest. And that is one thing that I think, you know, nothing more than Roman Reigns reminds me, because Roman Reigns, when he made the announcement that he was stepping back because he had leukemia, and then suddenly all of these booking decisions made sense. Nothing reminds me more of the fact that we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know those people. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes things come out and they're a complete surprise. So not to say that, like, Cesaro is a monster or any of that stuff, but just saying that, like, there are considerations and things that they know that we know. And it reminds me of, like, me and us and, like, our own lives, because there are, like, I'll see things online about me, like weird assumptions or like weird things, and I'm like, I don't know where you're getting any of this based on, like, the crumbs of things that I provide.
Yeah.
And I am, like, a Z-list internet celebrity at best. I might get spotted at Disney World if it's a busy fucking day. And so I can't imagine, you know, what it must be like. And so we can only see what's front-facing. We don't know what's mm-hmm. going on in back of house. So this that is a true. Consideration yeah. that I try to be very careful about when I start thinking about booking stuff.
Yeah, that's fans. The internet ruined wrestling fans in that it made us think that we're super smart, where the truth is probably not that smart at all, have no idea what actually is happening, what creative decisions are being made. But all you can do is react honestly to what you see in front of you. So we can say we don't like something, and then until you stop watching it altogether, they'll be like, well, you're supposed to hate it. Uh-huh. And now you're going to like it when we give you the thing you like. So who knows? It's all fucking confusing. I have to wear a mask every time I leave the house. Benjamin David Curley asks, what dropped storyline still keeps you confused no matter how much time has passed? I would answer this with the GTV, which never got a payoff because Goldust left the company. I know it was supposed to be him, but it was just a weird, like, one of those weird Attitude Era sliver fucking remake segments where there were weird security cameras showing everything, revealing storylines with no idea who's behind it. Now they're doing that again with Ali. What seems to be Ali, but has not been revealed to be Ali yet, because he's probably staying home too.
Yeah. Everything is weird. All of the storylines right now. That's like what drop storylines have been weird? Roman Reigns disappearing from WrestleMania. I know why, but why was it not written better? Why was it not dealt with better? One that genuinely keeps me up at night, which is just so stupid because it never should, but it's because I'm obsessed with the lives of female wrestlers after they leave wrestling on Instagram. The Emelina thing, I will never get over it. Like, I will never get over Emelina. I will never accept it. You spent so long teasing it and teasing it and teasing it. And then she came out and was like, nope, the old Emelina can't come to the phone right now because she's the Emelina before Emelina. It's like, no, this is terrible.
For 17 weeks, you have waited for the makeover of Emma to Emelina. Well, here I am.
There she is.
And now you'll see the makeover from Emelina to Emma.
What?
And then they tried to do that again with Liv Morgan and canned it. So
also,
it's very confusing to me.
What's her name? The girl who was on Totes Deves.
Eva Marie. Yeah.
Yes.
She's not. She's back. No, she's not. She's gone back to NXT, has she? I don't know.
Her relaunch on SmackDown was so good.
It was
for like four or five solid weeks. I was like, oh, this is the most interesting thing. And then it just completely dropped. And that maybe is, I don't know, confused as much as like heavily dissatisfied.
Yeah.
I was heavily dissatisfied because I liked it. Sometimes you get like a crappy one and you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then it ends and you're like, well, I guess that's over. I don't know why it started, where the middle was, or how the end showed up. But
that's it. It's the ones
that was like,
it's the ones that are just frustrating to me, because that's one of the things I love most about wrestling is storytelling, because I am a storyteller and I love the soap opera of it. And it's like a soap opera. When a soap opera drops a storyline for no reason, you're like, what? Like, the Raw general manager. Who is it? Where is it? What is it now? That's the end of it? This was your main storyline for months and months and months and months and months and months, and now it's gone away now? Now you go away now, storyline. Things like that really bug me. Even to a lesser extent, the way they were positioning Brandi in AEW as building her spooky stable, and then they realized quite rightly it was not working out, but to just have it go away? I'm like, what about the lady? You shaved the lady's head. Now where did the lady go? I'm worried about the bald lady. Is she working?
I really liked that. I like that storyline a lot. And again, you know, I know that a lot of that is the Lucha Underground in me. I know it is. But I was like, if you're going to put Brandi in a position to have her doing more stuff on camera, then have her do stuff that we haven't seen her do. And like the combination of her and like her and Awesome Kong was like, that was really cool to me. And I was interested to see what was going to happen with that. But also, you guys know, I like them spooks. I like when things are spooky. one for me was, what the fuck happened to Bray Wyatt's lightning powers? Remember when he had lightning powers?
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool. And I was really excited about it.
From The Undertaker?
Yes, he stole Undertaker's lightning powers and Kane's fire powers, and then he had no powers, and then he wasn't on TV for a while.
He's like Percy Jackson.
That's how he should come back. They should tie it into the Disney Plus remake.
He was the Avatar, and then it went away, and it stopped, and it was very
sad. So sad.
I'll tell you one I thought was real interesting, and I don't know if this even qualifies, but in 2014, I remember watching Raw, and seeing Kofi Kingston and Big E Langston tagging together and losing. And then Xavier Woods coming out on a microphone and basically saying, you have to, like, it's time for you to take what's yours and stop accepting what they're feeding you. Like, something like that.
It is up to us to find order. Together, it is our time to find purpose. Because we do not ask any longer. Now we take.
And that was the birth of the New Day. Then they disappeared to be repackaged together as the gospel trio in early 2015. And obviously that worked out incredibly well for all of them, which is great, as they all seem to be, you know, stand up really, really good guys. But I really wish I could have seen that version of New Day It seems like they had, like, because it was so, it is the only thing I remember from that episode. Like, I think about it. I think about it a lot and how compelling it was and where I was like, oh, this is, they've got something here. This could go. And then it never came back.
Part of it was like online. Everyone was like, oh, it's the new nation. Oh, it's the, or yeah, it's a new nation. It's a new nation. And
right,
that's
right.
When it got like, they were like, oh no, we're not doing that at all. But I was interested in that too. I'm always a sucker for when like a manager comes in and is like, you know, you don't have to put up with any of this shit, right? Like, you know that you're better than this. And I'm mm-hmm. going to come in here and show you how much better you are than what you're being given. Like, that's always, because for me, if you don't have a manager that's doing that, there's no point. And also, it's just a great way to repackage someone without it having to be like some weird thing where they go away and they come back as something completely different. You know, you have them be like, yo, like, yeah, I do deserve more. And I am like this new person now, in a way that storyline makes sense, you know?
You know, those Boom comics that were WWE that were being put out a couple years ago.
They were so good.
My favorite thing about those was that they would take all of the plot holes that WWE had built up and they would just fill them in with backstory and all these things that happened like outside. It was really, I kind of thought of them as mostly fan fiction, but it was really mm-hmm. cool to see them like publicized and like seeing them in your hands. It was like, wow, it's so coherent when you can just draw the lines and have actual writers working on it.
No, I loved those. I loved those Boom comics. Those Boom comics gave us this wonderful, like, they you know, again, with Seth turning and this great scene of the Shield on top of a production bus barbecuing and Dean Ambrose being so fucking upset that no one brought his goddamn potato salad that he like kicked over. Amazing. Beautiful. I loved those Boom comics. They made me really, really happy. And I was really bummed when they stopped doing them.
This is a big one right here.
This is a big
one. Asks us to rate Dalton Castle's cats.
Nope.
It can't be done. This is the problem. You can't rate another man's cats. That's not okay.
Put that on a t-shirt.
You cannot rate another man's cats. I enjoy Dalton Castle's cats. I'm going to say that. I do like his cats. I enjoy his love for his cats. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things about Dalton Castle. And I do like Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle is someone that I feel like should be bigger than Dalton Castle is. Yeah. I've always enjoyed him every time I see him live, and I enjoy his cats on the internet. I like mm-hmm. when he uses them as barbells because they seem into it.
Mm-hmm. They seem like they love it.
They seem super into it.
Because people will do that with pets, and I'm like, that dude is not, he is in pain. Like, you got to let him down. But they actually seem like they really enjoy it.
A cat does not need to be cupped in one hand and held in the style of a barbell if a cat does not want to be. That's what I know about cats from cat ownership. Like, Anderson,
and what I know about cats from cats is that a cat is not a dog. So, you know, we all
so between things. Us, we know basically everything about cats. Like, my cats, Belle will not allow herself to be used as a weight in any way, shape, or form. She is not to be used as a toy. But Anderson, he's basically a floppy idiot. He'll let you do anything. You can squat with that baby. You can, like, push with that baby. You can curl with that baby. But he only weighs 10 pounds, so he's not that helpful. But he's a great starter weight. Dalton Castle's cats look a little bigger. There's the tab. I can't remember their names. I don't know their names, and they're not anywhere obvious on the internet, which is very selfish of him.
Very selfish.
I'm scrolling through his Instagram, and there are beautiful portraits of his cats, but they just say things like cat, which is unhelpful. But they are a pair of beautiful cats. There's the one that has a little white chest that is very, very pretty, and then there's the tabby. And I'm a sucker for a tabby.
Oh yeah, I like a tabby.
But I don't think I could rate them. Now, I feel like if you wanted me to rate the Tubby Tomato clan, there's more cats there. This aren't as many cats to rate, so it's tough. But I think all cats are great. And as Danielle pointed out, a cat is not a dog.
Not a dog.
That's all you need to know,
I mean,
really.
If we're rating different, like, which wrestler has the best cats, it is very clearly the Vega. Like, it's very clearly that household.
They've invested a lot in their cat.
They have, you know, several very dope cat accounts where they talk about Cat Dead. So I think if we're saying, like, which wrestler has the best cats, then it's that household.
They have the best social media. I would like to hear more from Kevin Owens' cats.
Same.
Because he's got, like, five of them now. I'd like to know more about those cats. I feel bad for Two Paws over at the Neidhart household. Two Paws kind of kicked all this off. And then Two Paws lost his championship to Tubby Tomato and Totty Potato. Pickles and all those other cats.
Unfortunately, I think what happened is that Natty became a cat.
Yes.
And I think you just don't go full cat. You can't let your cat do cat stuff.
Again, another thing I learned from the movies, never go full cat. You can't do that.
Never.
No.
For the record, I like his light gray cat. See, Jellio asks, when I was younger, I always thought the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme, the Disturbed version with lyrics, went like, I'm breaking the lemon inside you. Maybe one of you have had a similar experience with song lyrics? Yeah, sure, all the time. I cannot remember lyrics to any song, let alone a wrestler song, some of which... Oh, you know what? The Raw's War theme song?
Dude, the... I looked it up once. That would be the one. I looked it up once because it's like, I don't know. I'm that nerd that looks up song lyrics because like it's words, man. I think it's the same reason why I always get captions when I watch like shows is because like, mm-hmm. I like the words. I want to see the words. So I don't have a lot of those mix ups, but I will like, I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I will make up lyrics to stuff. Much like Disturbed did for that, which was completely unnecessary. So, I would say that was one of the big ones, was that Raw's War theme that no one knew the lyrics of. The lyrics were like just rah, 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 and then explosions. And I'd say that one was probably the one that I most was confusing.
Yeah, I can't think of any wrestling ones off the top of my head. I had great success as a child at one of my parents' dinner parties by mistaking the words to the Police song Message in a Bottle to a Message in a Hippo.
Oh, cute.
Which I was like, oh, they're laughing at me because I'm hilarious. And I pinpoint that as when my life was ruined because I was about 4 and I'm like, watch them laugh. Look how much they're laughing at me. And I genuinely thought it was the greatest thing that ever happened. And I think that's what turned me into a horrible ham. So I love getting it. You know, it's an easy win. It's a good way to pop people to get a lyric wrong.
Or do like a bad impersonation. I did not the Joe Crocker version. I definitely did the Belushi version of Joe Crocker singing with a little help from my friends to my parents once. And like their reaction was 100% why I started doing any of this stuff. because they thought it was the funniest fucking thing in the world.
Because now as an adult, I'm like a little kid singing Message in a Hippo is not funny. The lyric is clearly not Message in a Hippo. Like, why would it ever possibly be Message in a Hippo? Now I'm like, they were just drunk. It was New Year's Eve. They've been drinking. They didn't know what was going on. They're just like, do it again. It's so funny. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
This is my life now.
Yeah, this is who I am now. And I'm like, no, as a 39-year-old woman, I'm like, it's not that funny, is it? But a lot of wrestling songs I think are hard to understand. So best just to make your own lyrics that I think you think fit the character for lols. I'm sure Aleister Black's lyrics are very meaningful, but I think if you made up new lyrics for him about cats, that would be great too.
Yeah, I will simply never know them. I'm sure they're great. I will simply never know those.
I believe he wrote them. I remember listening to an interview where he said he was allowed to write his own lyrics. Which I was like, oh, now I feel even worse for the fact that I'm just at home giggling, being like, what if they were about kitties, though? Like, what if they were about cats?
Oh, clearly. They couldn't be about anything else. The only WWE song I know the words to is, let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor. What lyrics do you know from songs, people? Let us know on our social media, which are the following. The Facebooks, Twitters, the Instagram, and a Discord. When we come back, we've got even more of your questions and our answers to them up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey, I'm Bria Grant. an e-reader who loves spoilers and chocolate.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara, a print book collector who will murder you if you spoil a book for me.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses, a podcast designed to help you read better.
Over the past few years, we've figured out why people read.
Self-improvement.
Escapism.
To distract ourselves from the world burning down.
And why they don't.
Not enough time.
Not knowing what to read.
And being overwhelmed by the number on their TBR list.
And we're here to help you with that. We will help you conquer your TBR pile while probably adding a bunch of books to it.
Reading Glasses.
Every week
on MaximumFun.org.
Tides and Bites Podcast. Tides and Bites.
Welcome back to Tides and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kell.
More questions, more answers. Brian Surprise asks, what has been the one thing in wrestling that during COVID-19 has brought genuine joy and comfort and made you forget what is happening in life?
Oh, man. Well, nothing. Made me forget.
That's your surprise, yeah. Brian. Nothing.
Something that provided a respite? I would say the Firefly Funhouse match at WrestleMania.
Oh, there you go.
Man, yeah. And also because... it didn't make me forget, but it made me realize that, like, hey, like, this is what wrestling does best, is take a hard time, daddy, and turn it into something great. And for me, it was like, this is a risk that could never have happened outside of COVID. They wouldn't have done it. So getting to enjoy something genuinely different in wrestling, like a new evolution of wrestling. And of course, because I loved the Broken Universe, and it reminded me of the thing I love. Yeah, I would have to agree with Hal. Like, that was easily the highlight. Honestly, I think that when we look back, that match is going to be like one of the top 10 matches people talk about, like in like a long view, just because of what an evolution in wrestling storytelling it was.
This is true. Mine is New Japan. It's been the reemergence of New Japan with the New Japan Cup the last few weeks has just been really lovely. And the fact that they're not pretending it isn't happening, but they behaved in a very ethical way when everything first happened. They just shut down. They paid everyone. Mm-hmm. They lobbied the government to keep paying everyone so they could pay their staff, so they could keep everyone paid, and not to make money themselves, but to keep everyone employed and keep them paid. So I feel good about Bushiroad as a company. And I love that in between matches, they sanitize everything and someone comes out in full PPE and they sanitize absolutely everything. And they've made skits and vignettes and bits to emphasize the importance of staying safe in this time. And I think they've done a really good job. And that allows me to distance myself from the current situation while I'm watching it. I have a really hard time watching AEW and WWE and separating myself from the situation at large. The whole like every so often I'll be in a match that's so good that I've forgotten, but it's very rare that I can separate myself. Whereas New Japan, I'm much better at it. I think they've done a much better job. And it's also just been really fun. The New Japan Cup has been really fun because I think you have a bunch of performers out there that want to perform. And they want to do good work. And they have. I'm pumped for both Dominion and New Japan Cup finale this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
And to co-sign that, obviously, like the big thing is they made sure they were paid. But honestly, and I'll say this, like I've also been very much like watching the wrestling is giving me squickies. But honestly, I'm at a point now where watching anything that wasn't made this year is giving me squickies. Where I'm like, why are all these people touching so much? Where are your masks? You know what I mean? Like I'm watching, like I watched the Blood Rave in Blade over the last month or something, and I was like, oh my god, like it was already disgusting, but now it's just like all the liquid. Like I watched a pool party scene and I was upset. So just to give it context, even going back and looking at our lives before, I'm like upset by it.
Yeah. Speaking of Japan, We Rate Wrestlers really wants you to validate their fan theory. As we all know, Kenny Omega should have given Toru Yano a title shot, but was a coward and avoided it. Did he start AEW due to his losing streak against Yano and his fear of losing once again? Let's make this a yes or no question.
I just feel like as a journalist, I was raised not to ask yes or no questions or also leading questions. So this is very difficult.
I think because it's they just want to get their fan theory out there. They've gotten it out there, and I will allow everybody to say yes or no.
I love me some Yano, but sure.
You know what? Kayfabe's not dead. I always enjoy it. You know what it reminds me of? When Marvel would issue no prizes because there would be like a mistake in continuity. And the idea of a no prize was that you would come up for your own theory as to why that wasn't a mistake and why they didn't mess up. So thank you, We Rate Wrestlers. That is, you get a no prize.
That's right. Did I ever tell you I went to the Marvel offices a few years ago and I got a no prize, an actual no prize from Tom Brevoort, who was like an editor, or
that's
I think
very
still
exciting.
Edits there, but like edited Captain America for decades. And
yeah,
There's a picture of him conferring it upon me because that was my father's. He was like, "Can you get me a no prize because you're going there?" And I got it, and my father has an empty Marvel envelope from what must be, I guess, the early '80s, judging by the artwork and the logo. So I asked. I was like, "I have to ask," and then he looked at me and then reached into his drawer and pulled out.
It's very exciting.
I wonder if everyone who goes to Marvel offices is like, can I get a no prize? Because I
don't know. They don't have them. Like, you got to go see Uncle Tommy to get it. Uncle Tommy B. He's gonna give it to you.
Stephen Bell. Give it to you.
He gonna give it to knock, open up the door. Stephen Ball asks, if you could take a wrestler on a night out, anything from drinks at a bar to a dinner date, who would you pick and why?
Oh, any kind of night out, not necessarily a date, but any kind of palling around, just palling around with my pal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really difficult one. I would love to go out for dinner with Takahashi and the Daryl family.
Yes.
Yep. While we're talking about cats. See how Carol's getting on. See how Daryl Jr.'s getting on. See how Hiromu's neck is feeling.
Ooh, yeah.
I feel like he would probably be really good. He would know where to take me in Tokyo. I really want to go to Japan. Like, this is the place I haven't been that I'm desperate to go to. In case you haven't noticed, I like Japan. and I would love to go to Tokyo. And I feel like Takahashi, maybe I would like to go to karaoke with Yano, our friend Yano, Okada, and Takahashi. And then I would like Kota Ibushi to pick me up and take me for breakfast the next day.
Ooh.
Nice.
I feel like that would be nice. And maybe I would stay with Io Shirai and Evil. Like, I would stay at their place. I feel like they would put me up. Or maybe I would just stay at Kota Ibushi's place because I think he's extremely rich. so I bet he's got a really nice house. But I would go to Japan and hang out with some of my pals over there. But yeah, Takahashi for karaoke? Karaoke, please.
Karaoke.
That's what we call it. That's what we call it. That's what me and Daryl call it, karaoke. Because it's one of our cool things.
Yeah, karaoke with wrestlers would be amazing. I am such a cliche at this point, but I don't even care. I am in the house and I'm going to say the things that would make me happy. I want a full room of wrestlers watching cats at a rowdy screening.
Oh, so good.
That's what I want.
Julian, when WrestleMania doesn't happen in LA next year, can we do a cat screening with wrestlers? Can we invite all wrestlers to a screening of cats and make that happen?
Guys, I know that you had a lot of plans, but let's just make sure that the weekend isn't a total loss. Meet us at this address and we'll have plans.
We have an unproblematic fun event for you guys to get involved with. Come watch
it's
cats
safe,
with
it's
us.
Distanced.
Yeah.
Julian sent us an email a while back, and part of the presumption of the email was that WrestleMania was going to happen in LA next year. And I responded, and this is one of the most sincere emails I've ever sent, 100%, was, I need you to know, it's important to me that you know it's not going to happen. And
bet.
Now look where we are.
Now I'm just worried it's going to happen, but it's going to happen in Florida. Like, that's my concern.
No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in Florida. DeSantis, which I was bummed because that was going to be
really
fun.
Check everybody in.
Yeah. I didn't say it was going to be safe for it to happen. I just said it was going to happen.
It does. It bummed me out because it was like, we were going to plan so much stuff around Mania, you guys, because everyone's in town and everyone's here. We were going to do so much stuff around Mania that we were like starting to get ideas for Because, like, you know, we're not like, I wish that we had the money where all of us could just go to wherever Mania is that year and go do our things. But we don't. So that it bums me out, but also don't fucking come here. Don't go anywhere.
I just wanted like everybody in the local scene to be doing like cool stuff, and everybody was going to be excited because it was going to be the first big show after COVID and everything. And now, you know, because our government fucked it up, we don't get to
do that. But now the next big show is us watching Cats together in an AMC. Like, we're renting out an AMC. We're going to go see Cats with Dalton Castle. It's going to be great.
Come on.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, well, and that's, again, it's one of those things where it's like, because WrestleMania now is not just WrestleMania. It is essentially the San Diego Comic-Con of wrestling. And that mm-hmm. was part of why it was going to be so much fun. And then it's also like, you know, there are all the other, like, podcasters that do have money that can come out here.
they can come to us.
They can come to us because we can't go to them. We pow. But so, yeah, I was also very excited and also very bummed that it's not happening.
Yeah. And my answer would be, I've never really hung out with Xavier before. I think it'd be fun to go to an arcade together.
He is a very nice man.
Play some classic arcade games together.
He is a very, very nice man.
We have two arcade games in our garage. You could come, you bring him here, and you can play Pac-Man and Galaga together while Jeff just watches from outside the window.
You're going to put him in Jeff's beer shed, but Jeff can't be there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Charlie Macron asks, what are your favorite pro wrestling what ifs?
What if they hadn't given everyone COVID?
Guys, this is going to be a real COVID heavy episode, but that's so what is happening in I'm so our sorry. Lives.
Coverload.
I do. It's got to be the exploding limo for me. Like, what if that was a storyline that actually was able to happen? That would have been really interesting. But obviously, like, for lots of reasons, they couldn't do that.
Super frowned upon to blow people up in limos.
Yeah, really.
But yeah, so that, I think, for me, will always be the biggest, like, what was the plan for that? And then also, how would they have changed the plan so it no longer was the plan? Because that's also part of the plan of WWE is, like, you have a plan and then you don't have a plan.
I have two. One is, what if Triple H hadn't torn his quad in 2001 after WrestleMania? Because that threw an entire summer of Benoit and Jericho against Stone Cold and Triple H threw it out after they had united all those titles. But the one I think about probably the most is, what if Ricky the Dragon Steamboat hadn't been essentially stripped of his Intercontinental title, so shortened to his reign, because his wife was pregnant and he needed to take time off to go be with her.
Right.
So I think that could have changed his trajectory, maybe even towards being the first small world champion because of how popular he was and how great that WrestleMania 3 – that WrestleMania 3 match is still, in my opinion, the greatest wrestling match of all time. Obviously, he did well despite it, but
– did okay.
Yeah.
I just think I would love to have seen what could have happened had he been given a longer run and not been punished for taking time away.
Yeah.
Or whatever story they tell.
I'm trying to think. There are so many, but loads of them are sad.
a lot of them are sad.
But I do wonder what would have happened if we hadn't had the Montreal Screwjob, because that was such a pivotal moment in changing the trajectory of wrestling. It brought Vince out as a character rather than an announcer. It broke kayfabe for so many people. It's such a pivot point. There are so many points in wrestling where it's a huge pivot point, and that is such a major moment that changed the trajectory of wrestling. That I wonder what would have happened if they'd just gone ahead with the supposed original plan of Bret vacating and walking away. Would Bret Hart have had a better WCW run because he wouldn't have been so bitter and angry all the time? Maybe Vince would have stayed an announcer for a longer period of time than becoming the character that he became. You know, like it started off so many new paths that I'm curious as to what would have happened if we hadn't rung the bell.
Yeah, I also like to follow that up. What if that still happened and then Bret wouldn't have gotten like immediately injured and was able to use that to skyrocket to WCW? What happens then? Something I think about.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
And something I think about more often than I care to admit is, what if Kenny Omega had come to WWE instead of AEW? thinks about it all the time. Thinks about it all the time. Every Wednesday at around 8 p.m.
I think it's actually funny that everybody was worried about how WWE wouldn't position Kenny Omega as a top guy. It's like, well, don't worry. His own company's going to do that for yeah,
it's
him.
Like, it's cool. He's getting real good at just, you know, starting the show and then going home early. I don't know, putting on his exercise shorts. He loves those soft shorts, huh? He loves a pair of soft woven shorts.
Sure.
I'm so conflicted by it because in the beginning, it was absolutely the right idea to not put over all of those dudes immediately so you could build up the rest of your roster. But guys, like, we're at a point where it's like, we did start watching it because we really liked you guys. So if you want to do some stuff now, you can go ahead and do that.
Yeah, go ahead and give yourselves a minute. I mean, because you were
the biggest wrestlers in the world when you did it. So yeah. Like, that's why we, you know, but again, I completely makes all of the sense in the world when it first started. But I am like, you could go ahead and be Kenny Omega again if you wanted to.
I would be super down with that.
If you wanted to, I think that we would all be okay with you simply being Kenny Omega again because I miss him.
Calvin M. asks, if you could fantasy book matches with your ideal outcomes for tapping titles in each promotion, what would they be?
I put some thought into this because I do try. And it's hard. It's really, really hard because as we've established, there are issues all across the board. I did think I would like to see Samoa Joe versus Keith Lee in a Daddy v. Daddy match.
Ooh.
Daddy on a pole, if necessary.
Daddy on a pole.
I would love to see Keith Lee, Samoa Joe. I think that would be... You know, like, we're not really going to talk about the wrestling that happened this week, but I really want to talk about the Adam Cole, Keith Lee match, and we could talk about it here because that's, I think, what made me want this match, because I think Keith Lee excels when he is against similar daddy-style wrestlers. Because the Adam Cole match kind of left me... a little hollow. Like, I felt like they didn't reach their top potential with that match. And I think partly it's because Adam Cole being so much smaller than Keith Lee, and Keith Lee was booked as such a monster throughout that whole match, and Adam Cole got maybe like 5 minutes of offense in a 25-minute match, that it felt to me like Adam Cole needed to do more of his wily, sneaky behavior, or maybe... Yes. Undisputed Era needed to be ringside to make it feel like there was more of a threat, because it never really felt to me that Adam Cole had a chance of winning that match, which made it a weird ending to his momentous reign to me. And while I'm super pumped with the outcome, the match itself did feel like a little off. So it made me think who I would love to see Keith Lee wrestle. And I was like, Samoa Joe, Cesaro. I want a Daddy League. If I can have a cruiserweight belt or an FTW belt, I want me a daddy belt, the daddiest of daddies.
I definitely want a daddy belt. And no, and I totally agree with you. And I think it's one of those things where it's like, I love, and I've always said this, and one of these days they're really going to do it. And it's going to make me the happiest girl in the world. Give me big guy, small dude, David and Goliath, wily shit. That is the stuff. Like, I want that match so badly. And with Keith Lee, especially because, like, he has spent so many pivotal moments just fucking tossing around these little dudes. And so because of that, that for me is also part of the reason why it's like Keith Lee can simply pick you up by the scrap of your neck and throw you into a guardrail. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, I wanted the sneakiness. I wanted Bugs Bunny. I wanted sliding through the legs. I wanted, you know, Eddie Guerrero pretending like Keith Lee hit him with the title. Like, that's the stuff that I want, you know?
Yeah, and we got like 5 minutes of it, and then
not enough.
And then it stopped, and I was like, oh, okay, back to that. But then other than that, I was thinking about the tapping titles division and how we would have titles tapped, and the peak. I feel like we would do a mixed match challenge type scenario, because I think intergender tapping titles is genderless.
It's
entirely open, so it can be...
All titles can tap.
All titles can tap. But the place I got to where I wanted for the finals of the tapping title mixed match challenge was Io Shirai and Evil versus Kenny Omega and Hikaru Shida. Ooh. And that's the match I want to see. That's where I got to in the end. And I think there were a lot of people involved in that tournament that happened in my brain at about 2 o'clock this morning. But that's where I ended up with the match that I wanted to see was Io and Evil versus Kenny and Shida. And I want it to happen on the moon in a biodome where it's hermetically sealed. and everyone is healthy and fine forever. And there would definitely be kendo sticks involved, and it would be the greatest match of all time.
Because I didn't want to make it fucky, but I was like, if I'm going to do a dream match, I want it to be intergender. Like, that's, I do. I want it to be intergender. If it is a dream match, I want Kenny Omega versus Sasha Banks.
Yes.
I fucking want it.
Can we have Bayley in Sasha's corner and Kota Ibushi in Kenny's corner?
I think that's the only way it can be.
Because I also really want to see Sasha and Kota, like, just face off. I don't need to see them have a whole match. I would like that. But I want to see him face off. I want to see Sasha get in Kota's little pretty face and flick his fringe. Flick that Justin Bieber fringe right out of his eyes.
Finally, Jeremy Mercer asks, how does one best juggle their love for this deeply problematic sport while still trying to be a better human?
Jesus fucking Christ, dude. You tell me.
None of us probably has the answer to this. I will tell you, as an example, I enjoy the show Friends. I'm in the middle of, I can't even tell you what number rewatch. It is deeply problematic as a show, which I recognize. Boy. And if I were talking to someone else about it, they would say, what do you think of Friends? I would give it the praise it deserves, but also say, it is deeply problematic. And here are the things that they were doing just 25 years ago that were like, these are all fun jokes, but that's bad.
At the expense of lots of marginalized different groups.
That's what I'm saying, without like getting into, like, we get into it, almost any piece of culture you can think of made in the last
Even like 10 years ago, man, I went back and we looked at some stuff for doing like old Honest trailers. And even 10 years ago, I'm like, that was a joke that flew. Okay.
Yeah, you could probably, go 5 years ago and find kind of shit. Like it is out there. Part of how I kind of move forward is, number one, placing old things in their context, but understanding what is not acceptable and making sure that's communicated to people. But there are going to be pockets of things that are good and pockets of things that are bad. And you have to understand the things that you should be mad about. You can't wholesale say wrestling is great and it's perfect and everybody should enjoy it and there are no problems at all. You also can't say every single person who watches wrestling and wrestles and wrestling as a whole is a giant piece of shit. And the thing to look for is, will those things evolve and how will they evolve? Because as we move forward, things that are made in 2020 and 2021 and 2022 are going to be held to the standard of their times. And the standard is getting better as we collectively evolve, no matter how many people want to drag their feet because they don't like change. So to me, that's part of it, is like, there are parts of it I love. There are things I probably loved when I was a kid that watching them now in wrestling, like, oh, this was terrible. I didn't know at the time. So now, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. When you know better, you can do better. And also, it's, you know, all sports are bad, guys. At the center of anything where there's a billionaire, it's fucking bad. We know about it because that is the nature of wrestling. Like, the nature of it is, football doesn't have kayfabe. So there are rumors and there are all of these things, but it's not scripted. It's not as secretive because of the nature of wrestling, because it is scripted, because it was such a secret for so long that it was scripted and all of these things. One of the things that as fans, I'm sorry, that we are drawn to is the backstage drama and things that are happening with the people who make the thing that we love. Because of that, we are so invested in chasing all of these rumors, and we are so invested in knowing what's going on behind the scenes, because A, we obviously like drama. That's why we watch the thing. And B, we want to seem like we're fucking smart. And so if NFL fans, because like the average NFL fan was as into what was happening behind the scenes as wrestling fans are, we would hear about way more fuck shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Wrestling is a culture that perpetuates systemic issues. Kayfabe itself has created a culture within wrestling that allows these things to happen because, you know, it's all about being part of the the brotherhood and looking after each other, and that has allowed all these terrible things that have happened to continue to happen. And even with what's happening in response to the pandemic right now, that's the same thing, because it's like, are you going to be a good guy and show up and do the work, mm-hmm. or are you going to be an asshole and stay home and not support your brothers? You know, it's very problematic, and that culture has been created for over such a long time.
But it is, I think, so weird how they did that, where they made it like, well, you're doing it for, and we do it as fans too, where we're like, well, we love the wrestlers, but we hate the wrestling. And so we will still go and support because we love the wrestlers and hate the yeah. wrestling. And that's fucking, the dudes in charge know that they're doing that. They, yeah. they've worked the wrestlers to be like, well, it's a brotherhood, brother. So you brother your brother, or you don't brother, brother. And they have worked us so that we are also wanting to support the yeah. wrestlers. But at the end of the day, they're the ones getting the money.
Yeah. I think the thing that, the way I deal with it, and it is hard every week, every Wednesday especially, I'm like, ah, I don't feel good about my life today. Because it's not always fun to watch. It can, like, I suffer with anxiety, and it can make my anxiety so much worse to just be watching it sometimes. I'm like, I need to turn it off. I can't watch it, and I have to go away, because I'm like, I can't watch all these people in this space putting themselves at risk, and I'm watching it, so I'm making it worse. But what right. I will try and do is remember that most of them are there through choice. I want to believe that people are there through choice, and they have a choice to do it. It's hard, because I think I've just counteracted that argument my very self, but also I support individual wrestlers that I'm comfortable supporting, so I put my money yeah. where I think it is best served. So I will buy t-shirts of wrestlers who I yes. personally support. I follow the wrestlers I support on social media. That's where I try and be, and especially with social media, because so many wrestlers will pivot to social media platforms to make money if wrestling goes haywire or whatever. So right. your follow is important. If you follow someone and they're doing stuff you don't like, I stopped following Braun Strowman when he started posting all the hunting stuff. Like, put your follows and your money where it helps. Mm-hmm. Go follow Dalton Castle's cats, and don't follow assholes. That's a big thing.
If you've got any thoughts on what we've discussed, connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord via the links in our show notes. We'll be back after this with some things from the wrestling world that you should know about. This is Tights and Fights.
Rocket Ship 1, this is Mission Control. Come in.
This is Rocket Ship 1. Go ahead.
Rocket Ship, what's your status on Max Fun Drive? Shouldn't we have seen it by now?
Sorry about that, Mission Control. Turns out I miscalculated. Current projected ETA for Max Fun Drive is July 13, but it looks different. It'll be for 4 weeks, so it's longer than expected, but all readings point to low-key.
Oh, that'll be good. But can you verify that there are still special gifts for new and upgrading monthly members?
Verified. Sweet gifts for new and upgrading members, plus amazing new episodes, and even special weekly live streams for charity.
Copy that. Rocket Ship, can you confirm ETA for Max Fun Drive?
90% probability of Max Fun Drive from July 13 to August 7.
Did you say 90%?
There were a couple of decimal places, and I might have carried a zero wrong.
I'm just going to pencil in July 13 to August 7. Mission Control out.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Galk.
We're ending the show this week by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the three count. Danielle, what would you like to put over?
I'm sorry. I can only put over Money Plane. I can't do anything else. I am putting over the line, if you want to see a dude fuck an alligator, Money Plane.
It's called a Money Plane. Some of the baddest motherfuckers on the planet are on that plane, all craving action. Whatever you want to wager on, the Money Plane has you covered. You want to bet on a dude fucking an alligator? Money Plane.
Money Plane.
there are a few things that make me very happy, and right now Money Plane is one of them. So that's what I'm putting over.
How could you not?
Kelsey Grammer,
Frasier versus Edge versus Joey Lawrence. Versus an alligator. Apparently someone's got a fucking alligator. Oh my god.
I don't know how that bet works. How does that
so
bet work?
Exciting.
What are you betting on?
Yeah.
Caligula alligator. Lindsay, what would you like to put over?
Money plane. I was telling Hal earlier that I dreamt about Money Plane last night. I still haven't even seen it, but the last thing I saw last night before I fell asleep was my Apple confirmation that my pre-order was ready to watch. And then I dreamt that I was helping Edge make Money Plane 2. I was a producer on Money Plane 2. We were in Vegas. We were filming it in Vegas. John Cena was in it. It was very exciting. Other than Money Plane 2, of which I will be executive producer because I dreamt it, I was going to put over New Japan Dominion and New Japan Cup finals, which are happening this weekend, but I feel like I'm going to want to talk about those next week more so than this week, but do watch them. What I would like to put over from this week, because I watched it last night and loved it, was the 8-man tag on AEW. And I loved watching the Bucks and FTR work together. They did some really stellar work that makes me so excited for the matches to come. And the Lucha Brothers looked incredible. Incredible. It was just the most fun match I've seen in such a long time that I recommend everyone go see it. It was just so great. Yeah, it was everything that we were promised for so long, and it happened. And I love when I get something I was promised. I love that. It's my favorite.
Man, when a company is like, we're definitely going to make these things important, and then they do, it's really nice, AEW. So if you want to do...
It's like I ordered something off Instagram, and when it arrived, it was exactly how they said it was going to be. That's what happened when I watched AEW and that specific match, and I couldn't be happier.
What a unicorn moment that is. I'm going to put over something from Raw. Yes. Ooh. Heath Slater returning to cut a promo on Drew McIntyre and then go out on his back. I just thought it was a great promo. A reminder of how good Heath Slater could be and how misused he has been.
Yeah.
Here is a clip.
You know my family, you know my kids. And I'm not talking about the 22 the world thinks that I have. I'm talking about my two beautiful little girls that I am here today for. You promised me something. You said you would petition to have a match with me. And what happened? What happened? I'm on the unemployment list. That's what happened.
If he's truly done with WWE, I hope somebody hires him and then just pays him to sit in a plastic bubble, because he does actually have kids. And it's important that those kids grow up with their father. That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. Your hosts, as always, are Daniel Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. Max Fun Drive is almost upon us, so plenty more information about that coming, including some real cool We Got This stuff. So if you haven't already subscribed to We Got This with Mark and Hal, this is a great time to do that. It is a sister podcast on the Maximum Fun Network, on which all three of us have appeared, one of us in every single episode except for one.
It was me. Danielle. No, sorry.
That was Lindsay. Yeah, Lindsay, what would you like to promote?
I would like to promote my book that's coming out soon.
Yes!
For the first time. I would like to do it. In case you missed it, it's out in 2 weeks in the UK. It's out in 2 months in the US. So, build that anticipation, guys. It's coming. It's getting really good reviews. I'm super excited. I can't wait for it to be out. So you can pre-order it wherever you pre-order books. Like anywhere. Anywhere can do it. Well, books. Well, anywhere that sells books. Like, you can't go to the butcher and say, can you get it for me? They might, but it would be out of the kindness of their own heart, not because it's something they do. The Blade definitely wouldn't do it, but the butcher might.
That's a
bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited for your book.
Yeah.
Books. My stuff is still the same. Honest Trailers, watch them. SJU, at least 3 times a week, probably more. Go watch that. The Great Debate, still happening. Watch those things. Those are the ways that you can support your Danielle Radford.
Yes. Oh, one more thing to throw in there. You can leave it right here, including what I'm saying right now. this past week's episode of We Got This Mark and Hal was the charity show that we did a couple weeks ago. in which Danielle and Lindsay both generously donated their time and hilarity. But that was a benefit for the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. And if that's a charity that you're interested in supporting, you can go to NAACPLegalDefenseFund.org and make a donation right now. You don't even have to listen to the episode. Or you could, and maybe that would make you donate twice. That wouldn't be a bad thing.
Not a bad thing.
Our producer is Julian Burr, sir, L. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Discord. Links to all those are in our show notes. If you love what we do, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to the Max Fun members who make this show possible. And hey, if you're not a member and you'd like to become one, the drive begins on Monday. So you're going to find out all about that and all the cool stuff going on during Max Fun, this extended Max Fun drive. And if you can't wait till then, you want to support the show and get clothing out of it, buy our t-shirt. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.